I'd like to call to order the task force meeting today on class size, and I want to thank folks who are both on the phone and also who have joined us here today at the Capitol. So what we're here to do today is to look at the draft report that we've had staff review and put together after we had our meetings starting in July. And we've actually had three changes of staff during this process. And so what we're really trying to make sure that we're doing is capturing all of your comments or all of your amendments or all of your suggestions as far as a final report for us to carry forward to the legislature. So at this time, I'd really like to open it up to folks either on the phone or around the table and let you know that there are copies of the report over on the side table if you have not brought that up today. And I'd like to start with anybody who has a comment about the report that's been put together by staff.
I have a really simple question on the members of the task force. It has been listed as leadership of teachers bargaining unit. Is that just a placeholder, or are you going to put my title?
Madam Chair, that's page 4.
Okay, everyone. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so on page 4, we're looking now.
It's just how it indicates who the representatives are in the task force. And it has me listed as leadership of teachers bargaining unit. Is that just a placeholder? Do you know I'm president of the Oregon Education Association? Is that?
Could we make that change, please? And I have to be honest with you. I'm pretty sure that was just put in because they didn't know what the title was.
Yep. And they've got Jeff listed. Jeff is a teacher in Forest Grove and president of Forest Grove. I don't know.
Do you want me to know the title again?
President of the Oregon Education Association.
Whoops.
This is Colin on the phone. I would second that with Colin Robinson, as an Oregon member, as I'm the president for Oregon PTA.
One more time for
Colin A. Robinson is the president of the Oregon PTA.
Yes.
And okay, that's good. President of the Oregon PTA. And then Jeffrey Matsumoto is a teacher from Forest Grove.
Yeah, he's elementary teacher. He's
second grader.
I think he's third grade, but I'm not. He may be fourth grade now.
So he's a teacher from Forest Grove, an elementary teacher from Forest Grove. Okay. Anybody else need a correction in their title?
Association.
Thank you.
Okay, great. So task force membership is what we were working on page 4. Anything else that needs to be changed or any additions or any suggestions as far as the report goes?
Yes. Madam Chair, maybe we could verify who's on the phone. I know that, for example, Mr. Matsumoto planned on calling in late,
okay.
So he may not be on the line yet.
Colin, we've got you on the phone. Who else is on the phone, please, if you could give us your name?
Gary Humphrey.
Okay, so we have first one was Gary Humphreys, right?
Yes.
Okay, and then there was another voice?
Paula Nelson.
Okay, we have Paula Nelson. And we have Colin Robinson. Anybody else?
Ann Bryan.
Anybody else?
So Mr. Matsumoto isn't yet on the
phone.
Okay,
so we're still waiting for Jeff, but he should be on shortly. Thank you. Okay, any other comments from folks around the table or on the phone?
I have a couple of
and this is Brian Reeder.
Places where I think we have one is a left out word and the other I think is a misspelling. On page 11 in the feedback section.
Okay, for those on the phone, we're going to page 11 on the feedback section.
So in the statement down there by Robert on the fourth line, I guess starting on the third line, it says it will take me about 2 minutes to read that paragraph and access what feedback is needed. I think that should be assess, not access.
Yeah. Would make sense.
And then one more place on page 12, under test scores. The first sentence says the task force did not see direct evidence that class size lowers test scores. I believe what we meant to say was larger class sizes lowers test scores.
Inserting the word larger in front of the word class, that larger yes. class size lowers, okay. And we did have someone else join us, disconnect. Or
yeah, it's Jeff Matsumoto.
Thank
Sorry
you.
Sorry for being late. My kids just got done.
No, thank you very much for joining us, Jeff. I appreciate it. We are just looking at right now the report, and we've corrected some titles on page 4 for our task force members, and we're on page 11 where we corrected a spelling error and a left out word. Page 12. We're just finishing up with a couple of comments on that. So,
okay, great, thank you.
So Ms. Hannah.
Yes.
The type, sometimes it's bold and sometimes it's not, and I'm not sure there's any rhyme or reason about why there's bolded text in the document.
I looked at that too. I understand the boldingness of the titles and the fact that it was just a format choice.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if some folks believe that format choice is appropriate, necessary, good. And we can certainly talk about that.
I'm okay with that. But like on page number 6.
On which page?
On page 6.
On page 6, okay.
On the copy I have anyways. Maybe it's just a bad printer. The quality, it's the second paragraph. And it bolds the first sentence, and then it bolds the, and then it bolds the last line on my copy. Is this just a bad copy?
It looks to me like it could be just a print issue. I'm not sure.
Madam Chair, members of the task force, yeah, it's not in the actual document that we're editing.
Okay.
And it appears to be the one that's smudged, like the toner got out of hand.
Okay.
Yeah. That kind of happens. This is Darren.
Yeah.
That kind of happens, but every other page or every page, there's a sentence or two that's bold.
People
to the next page, it's the same way.
Okay.
So for folks looking at the electronic version, they're seeing what I'm seeing, and it's clean.
Okay. So folks, is yours clean on the phone? There may be some issues with a printer that was used for some of these copies that we're looking at. But it's we're going to make sure that the electric version is what or the electronic version is what we're looking at.
Also on page 6, are we adding in the percentages there, right there in that section?
There are, Madam Chair, members of the task force, there are some numbers pending from Department of Education. The estimate is that they'll arrive tomorrow.
Okay.
And we could, depending on what the task force's preference are, circulate them to everybody and then drop them into the report in case anybody has any comment about them, and just leave them as blanks for now for today.
Is that okay with everybody? We want you to be able to thank you. We want you to be able to look at the numbers certainly before they're in the final report.
So this is Colin on the phone. While we're talking about kind of formatting things, there is one that even on the electronic version. So part one, which starts on page 3, part one background is bolded and centered. And then part two, which is on page 7, is bolded but left aligned.
Oh, that's an error.
So there should just be some consistency.
Correct.
Very minor, but.
No, that's good. Thank you. We'll put it in the middle We'll put them both in the middle. We're looking, you know, fairly closely at items that are mainly technical and or formatting. And I want to continue doing that if there are folks that have found other areas that we need to straighten up for consistency or clarity. But I also would like you to think about content. And we have tried to put it into two sections that are basically going to be demonstrating what we looked at, what we read, what we analyzed. And then we were also trying to really talk about some of the conclusions that we made or some of the analysis that we made from that information. And then the last section is the section that is basically talking of a conclusion, which gives us a little bit of an idea of either where we want to go next or at least what we've assumed is the conclusion of our work at this point. And that was where some of you indicated that you were more than willing to go forward with meeting with the idea or the concept that we were actually going to make some suggestions to the legislature as far as how to address some of these issues or how to integrate some of these issues with other conversations that were going on. And so I'd like to make sure before we close the meeting that we have an opportunity to do that. And we can do that section by section, or we can do that by, you know, issues, for example, of absenteeism and a space and dealing with relationships and those types of things.
This is Gary. Reading through, and I know I have not been on all the meetings, so I'll just say it, and then if it's in there and I can't find it, but the weighting of students according to special needs, whatever the special needs are, there's different degrees of that, and I don't see that anywhere listed in the document.
Madam Chair, members of the task force, I've just received an email from Ann Bryan with a correction to her title as well, so I went ahead and did that.
Okay, thank you.
Chair of the Beaverton School District.
Thank you.
Sorry to interrupt.
So to Gary's point, he was looking to see an acknowledgement of the weighting of special needs. And were you looking at language for ability to adapt to student need, or?
Well, when dealing with class size, you cannot count every student equally, especially if you're talking about a special needs student. Some are very strongly IEP'd, others are not. It just depends on the individual and what that student's needs are, because you may have a life skills person in the middle of a regular ed classroom, and that person needs a lot more assistance, and we don't have aides in our classroom, so it's being counted just as a person in our classroom.
So this is Jeff. What I recall from one of our meetings was the conversation around, yes, that's very true as far as sometimes the impact that high needs students might bring as far as a weighting to determine like class size, but also recall part of the conversation being around, well, if we just lower class size in the general sense to 20, or whatever we were at the time, 23 or whatever, then by I guess nature of the size of classes, the number of high needs kids becomes diminished as a whole in each of the classrooms, and I think that was part of, at least that I recall, some of the conversations around weighting of caseload student kind of issues.
One of the, and you guys, this is the chair, Susan McLean, and I remember that we had some issues. We were talking about different configurations of classrooms, like the blended classrooms, special needs classrooms, IEP classes, and those types of things. But we were also talking about how we wanted to structure looking at what is the expected around the quality education model. And so we I'm wondering, did we leave out a piece of data or background dealing with the different types of classrooms because we were concentrating on looking or focusing on the quality education model and what was assumed to be the goal? And if that's so, well, then maybe we need to, in the background section, at least identify that we did have discussion about some of these different classroom configurations, whether it be elementary, high school, blended, some sorts of conversation that we had, and also special needs requirements, you know, through both federal and state requirements. So can I get a reflection or a reaction to that?
I recall that we talked early on about how the sort of abbreviated time period that this task force had, that there were certain types of analysis or certain data we would want to look at, but that we weren't going to have time to look at, and that maybe that in a recommendations section that we say, or make some recommendations about further research that should be carried out. An example of that, if you look in the equity section back here, we have some new data sets at the department where we can identify which students are in which classrooms with which teachers, and so we could, for example, say, do low-income students, are they in smaller classroom sizes or are they in larger ones? Special ed students, ESL students, do the class sizes they experience, are they different than the than other students who don't have those special needs? Just as a way to understand some of the, you know, we would hope that we're providing additional resources to kids who need them, and lower class sizes may be one way to do that. And it would be interesting to know whether we're doing that now or whether we're not.
Yes, please.
Thank you.
This is Chair.
I remember talking in the beginning also about this same issue, and I didn't see it here either. Does the QEM, does it have guidelines for special education at all within that? So we need to probably go broader than what we have done, because I think that's significant. And the English is a second language. I mean, that's huge, too. I don't think you can not do that and address the issue.
Yeah, the QEM doesn't get to that level of detail. But it's certainly, I think, something that's worth looking at.
The QEM does list a certain number of FTE per school for special ed staff, as well as for the English as language learners staff. So I don't know how that exactly fits into class size, but there is additional staffing specified as part of the QEM in those areas, as well as for, you know, specialists in art and PE and music, library, things like that.
Right. It does talk about staffing levels, but it doesn't get to the level of talking about, for example, recommended class sizes for ESL or other special needs groups.
Okay, so we've heard from Representative Hack, we've heard from Brian Reeder from the Department of Ed, and now we're going to hear from Darren Drill.
So on page 11 of the report, at the top of the page, it says ability to adapt to student need. The third or the second full paragraph after the quote, essentially, it starts with aside from life circumstances. The second sentence says teachers need the time to adapt to each student, to their learning styles and disabilities, to their personal backgrounds and home life. One might want to add maybe another sentence there to address the question that came beyond the conversation that Representative Hack and Brian just brought up, which I think would require far more conversation, it might be able to address that there around the idea that special education students in classrooms that are large can present more challenges, right? If the classroom is smaller, maybe there's fewer. So if you have a class of 32, you might have five or six kids that are on IEP of some sort, depending on their level, right? If you have a class of 23 or 24, maybe that's smaller. In some cases, it won't be, but in some, you know, if you do the basic math, there should be three or four kids instead of five or six kids. And maybe that's what our colleague was looking for.
So for those of you that are on the phone with us today, we've been given two suggestions. One, that we either address it under equity, and we talk a little bit more about other circumstances, which could be staffing for special ed and ELL, which is noted in the QEM, or it could be more dialogue talking about the kinds of classes that we put ELL and special ed or IEP students in, that we need to address it and at least have a sentence or two that asks the question or makes the remark that there may be some goals that are important to look at ELL, special ed, IEPs, and what effect they have on larger classes, or are they found in smaller classes with data from the Department of Ed. And I would like to see both of those suggestions, you know, added to the report if that is the will of the committee.
I support that.
Okay. I'm seeing people around the table supporting that. Are folks on the phone comfortable with both of those being additions to our area, talking about conditions, constraints, sideboards to the classes and the goals of the QEM?
Yes. Jeff is good with that, yes.
And Mrs. Paula, and I remember the conversation we spent some time talking about this and about putting those as a weighted students, and I'm okay with this as well.
Yeah, that's fine. This is Gary.
So we heard Jeff, Gary, and Paula say yes, correct?
And Colin says yes, too.
And Colin, thank you. Other comments about the actual content?
I just have one question. At the top of page, this is Anne, at the top of page 7, there were two figures about the funding required to provide class sizes as targeted. And I was curious if in fact the $361 million was that on an annual basis or for the biennium, and if that was in fact sufficient.
Yeah, this is a biennial number from the QEM.
Did you hear that, Ann?
Yeah, so that's an annual number, is that what you said?
No, it's a biennial number.
So,
I guess I'm curious, the rest of the almost $1.5 million, is that which aspects of the QEM are we thinking that needs, is that in the final report? I just need to go check that bit.
The remaining gap that the QEM identified. Yeah, it's I don't have those numbers off the top of my head. It's spread out over a number of things. A big chunk of it is the increase in the PERS rate.
PE specialists, music specialists,
yeah.
Librarians,
right.
Those things that we've cut over the years that are in the prototype school.
Exactly.
Those are all big ticket items.
Yeah.
So and the. Evidently, the rest of the gap is spread over quite a few issues. They talked about the specialists that are no longer in many of the schools, like the PE specialists, the librarians, the music, the art, those types of things, and maybe the PERS and staffing issues. Or
Right. There's a substantial jump in the PERS rate in the 17-19 biennium currently, and that's a couple hundred million dollars. And then the rest of it really is primarily staffing levels of the type that Hannah mentioned. Just things that have been cut, counselors, PE teachers, and so forth.
Stuff here too, increase with regard. Sorry, this is Darren. There's also, in that QEM, there's textbooks, other supplies, operations, increased special education services, those kinds of things that add up to that. The 361, my understanding, is the exact number that would address the class size issue in the QEM.
I think one suggestion then would be that we ask staff to please check the QEM report again and make sure that we have a good description that really describes all of those elements that we just brought up today, so that we have a security that the number there is actually reflecting the report that we're getting also this year about the QEM and specifically where the gap is.
Yeah, I guess the other thing we need to remember is this 361 is just reduced class sizes in elementary schools. Mm-hmm. So there's a chunk that'll be for lower class sizes in middle and high schools as well that's in the full $1.992 billion gap.
So we also mentioned then that we were looking at the elementary reductions and not at middle school or high school. So we'll make sure that staff really reflects all of those costs in this report to make sure it's the most accurate we can make it and also parallel with the other report. Okay, any other suggestions on the actual content?
I guess the general comment I would make is I think this captures pretty well the discussions that the task force had, but it hasn't really, you know, we have a conclusion section, but we haven't really talked about recommendations and what we think needs to be done given what we talked about and what we learned in this process. Part of the difficulty is that we simply didn't have enough time to get as deeply into this as we want. And so one recommendation is that that there be further work that sort of gets deeper into certain issues that we think are important.
Well, I appreciate Brian Reeder bringing that up, because that's the section that I spent the most time on, was just looking at this and say, well, what are the results and what are we suggesting? We're not doing anything yet at this point that I personally feel will help the legislative body have guidance and or some leadership or direction on what we're trying to achieve, with acknowledging that class size affects many other issues that we care about, whether it's relationships or absenteeism or trauma or safety or anything else. All the kinds of graduation rates and all of these different things that we say we want to improve. And so it's important for us to take some time, if we're willing. I'm willing. I'm hoping that there's some in the committee that would be willing to really have another meeting where this is where we start, where we acknowledge that we need to do further work on recommendations or guidance or leadership concept or ideas of where we need to go to really improve the schools in our state. So is that, folks on the phone, does that go along with some of your thoughts?
This is Colin, yes.
Okay.
Jeff says yes.
Okay.
Gary says yes.
Okay. Paul is a yes.
Well, I appreciate that, and I know how busy we are, and I know that, you know, basically we have the ability to continue to work till at least December, and I know time is short. We're already at the end of October. So I'm wondering if we have either ideas of things that we want to cover, and are we willing to try and set another meeting? Is there some way to talk about topics that we'd like to talk about, areas of concern, areas that we think we haven't discussed in more specific terms versus more of a general concept that we just talked about?
Yeah. Well, one that comes to mind for me is the resource question. The department is currently working on a study required by Senate Bill 1541 that looks at how different districts allocate their resources to different uses and activities. And one of the areas that that legislation specifically mentions is class size. And so it might be interesting to see what comes out of that study for this group. For example, we know that really small districts that have very small schools tend to have class sizes that are in the, you know, even down below 10. And so arguably they don't, those schools don't have a class size problem. But when you get into larger districts, and the reason they have such small class sizes is they get extra money through the funding formula because they are small. Those districts that have, and schools that are not small enough to get that extra money may have larger class sizes simply because they have to make trade-offs between that and other uses of their resources. And so,
this is Jeff. I am not sure, but I thought also part of that with our smaller districts or our rural districts was that they also tend to blend more. Again, the blending can help alleviate class size issues as well.
Okay, so
I'm not sure if it's strictly just a case of better funding or the extra funding that allows for you know, potentially more FTE, but also the impacts of just, you know, smaller number of kids in general, and then blending them in ways to configure smaller class sizes or less of an impact. Or maybe I'm wrong, but I thought that was part of what we looked at as well, or saw as in part of the data.
So the suggestion that's been made so far is that we put on one of one area of ideas of doing some further work is maybe a coordination of the Senate Bill 1541 study on dealing with how there are differences in people using their resources at the local level and what type of results do they seem to be getting. And I think, first of all, we probably need to look at what the timeline is for that particular study, and then also if there are other things that we feel we might want to add or look at on our own. Jeff mentioned one as far as blending sizes or the type. Darren mentioned the configuration, I think Representative Hack did too, of what kind of students are in the classroom and how many are in the classroom, and does that affect the overall results. So it's not just dollars or resources, it's also configuration of students in the classroom, which as a teacher, you know, yes, I have so many pieces of paper, and I have so many books, and I have so many, you know, types of configurations or skills level materials, but I also have to look at who's there and what that configuration does together. There's certain classrooms. So if there's anything else, does that capture a little bit of what you were saying?
Yeah, the Senate Bill 1541 report is due to the legislature on December 15th.
If I could, Chair?
Yes, please.
I am wondering also on the blends, what type of data might be available for us to look at as far as the effectiveness of a blend or the ineffectiveness of a blend? I mean, I don't know. Sometimes you hear mixed, you know, there's mixed feelings on that. If that is an option, I think we should definitely do our due diligence in finding out what is involved in that? I mean, are we moving kids better? Or are we not?
I think that...
Especially looking at our rural districts that face that.
The biggest problem we have with trying to evaluate that at the department is that data set we have that helps us or allows us to identify blended classrooms. We've only been collecting that data for 2 years now. It's a new data collection. Mm-hmm. So that's not really give us enough time to evaluate its impact on how well students are doing or whether blended classrooms are beneficial from an academic standpoint or not. It's just...
That's not much of a baseline.
It's not. And it's, we can't follow kids through school long enough to get multiple test scores for them or graduation rates for them. I guess blended classrooms really isn't an issue in high school. They're sort of all blended by definition. But
would it be fair to hear from some teachers who have been operating off of blended classrooms for a period of time that could give us some input on the pros and cons of that? I mean, they're the ones doing it. I'd love to hear from them.
There's some districts really that have. There's some districts are leading the way in that, and they have. They can see it through the span of their career, the student's career.
I'd love to hear from them.
Yeah. So a second area has been brought up, and that is that we actually look at some data that deals with blends and especially deal with talking to teachers themselves who have been involved in some different levels and different types of blends. I would say just to Brian's comment about secondary, I taught classes that had 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th graders, and there were some very interesting results, and quite frankly, the majority of the time I loved it. Because there were a lot of role models and a lot of folks that could help in different ways. But, there are pluses and minuses depending on the curriculum and depending on, the class and the type of activities and what you're trying to get as far as a result. And whether it's written or whether it's verbal or performance and those types of things. But I've got two suggestions now on our idea list for our next meeting.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
And I'm sorry, because I didn't.
I'm sorry about that, guys. Sorry.
Charge for the foundation for that.
There we go.
Meetings. So, did we use the TELS data? Did this committee look at the TEL Oregon survey results?
Did we? I don't remember seeing.
I thought we did. Yes, we did.
Okay.
And it was also on. Yes, we did.
Okay.
I would just go back to maybe looking at, as we're looking at recommendations, mm-hmm. really trying to dig in and see what educators have told us, and might help us come up with some recommendations. It would be strong.
I appreciate Hannah just mentioned that we need to look at the TEL data maybe a little better and more, and maybe we could add some additional information in the report on that. And so I will definitely put in our list of ideas here. Yes.
You may also want to take a look at Oregon Rising with regard to OEA, OSBA, and COSA that put together report with regard to almost 11,000 Oregonians who talked about what their beliefs are, and one of them is around class size. So, and I know that any of those organizations would have a copy of that report for you.
Can we get that uploaded on OLIS, the RISE?
Yeah,
report?
We definitely don't have that on OLIS. The Oregon Rising, can we get that on OLIS?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
So we do a copy of it or a link.
So we are going to add another idea, is going to, besides the TEL report and information, the Oregon Rising, and we will get that on OLIS, and we'll also put that on our list of ideas to look at a little bit more.
Hannah, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Because that's a copy I got from Craig at COSA. I don't know what kind of copy you might have.
Yeah,
but I want
it's
to make
just
sure.
it's the same. So I would just say it's online for you to be able to access.
You might want to take a look at that and make sure, because I've got a copy, but I know that our organizations have talked more in depth about what it should look like. I don't want to hand some anecdotal copy of it when you should have the full report.
Okay, so we will look to make sure we have the official report.
Yes,
and
please.
Check to make sure we're getting the one that's finished and online. Okay.
Yes, Madam Chair, and I've told Corey the same thing, to check for the document online.
Thank you very much.
And Madam Chair, if I could interrupt again,
yes.
I've got another email from Anne with some other observations. One of them is just inserting a period at the end of the last sentence at the bottom of page 6 there after the word nation. But she also indicates and she can butt in if I'm not getting it right. OEM numbers are inconsistent in the report. The target sizes on the bottom of page 6 are correct and should be copied to the top of page 6 as well, and her gratitude for clarifying the funding gap.
Okay, so just to make sure we're correct on that, Anne, did she capture those correctly?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. So we're checking out to make sure that we've got the correct numbers from the QEM report and that they're in both places in this, close to page 6 and top and bottom of page 6?
Yes, Madam Chair, that's what the email says, but I'm having trouble following the specific, what it is that needs to be copied from the bottom to the top here.
So it's just that the class size recommendation from the QEM specifies 20 students K-1 and then 23 2-3.
Okay. So we will check the numbers and make sure they're correct. And any inconsistencies, we will go back to the QEM.
Oh, I see. In the text, it says class size average of 20 in kindergarten and 23 in grades 1 to 3, when in fact what the QAM says is 20 in K-1 and 23 in 2-3.
Okay, thank you. All right, thank you, Anne.
Mm-hmm. At least that's what I'm remembering.
Okay.
It's one or the other.
Okay, so we will check the QEM's report. Okay, so we have our resource, we have our questions so far that we've been dealing with. We have four of them. We have two reports that we're going to look at and make sure they're both online. We're going to talk about more information that we may have as far as teachers' thoughts on blends. And then the resource and the questions that we've talked about concerning QEM. Anything else for ideas?
Correct numbers, and this one's not quite right.
Madam Chair, he's just pointing out that I can make this correction for consistency and accuracy right now. The numbers
at
the bottom are correct and need to be consistent, made consistent above that, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Okay, Anne, thank you. I think we've got it. Any other comments on the actual content of the report? Well, as a chair, I want to acknowledge, we had to work really fast, and I feel like there's always more that we could add, more detail, more integration between other items. But the one element that I want to make sure is strong enough in the conclusion comments is, number one, that we were making an acknowledgement that class size and other issues we care about are integrated concerns, and that they basically affect each other. That, you know, you can't just talk about relationships between staff and students. You can't just talk about safety. You can't just talk about the size of the class. You can't just talk about issues concerning absenteeism. That when we talk about them, we're talking about a rolling, integrated factor list that all amount to either better or a better education system, a better school, better teaching opportunities, or better learning opportunities. And so that we're trying really hard to make sure that we're continuing to work toward that goal of integration and not try to separate it out, but to look for solutions and resources that affect all of these areas of concern. Would you agree that that's a little bit more in-depth, more specific conclusion? And I would hope that staff would maybe be able to look at the tape and listen to the tape and and try to help our conclusion area with those.
Madam Chair, I'd be happy to do that, and we'll try to compare it back to you, what I understand, and just keep begging everybody's patience, because even the acronyms are not quite familiar to me, and I'm, I'll reach out anytime I don't
Welcome
understand
to our
something.
World.
You're doing great, and I would like a chance to recap what I understand the direction is for the final push on this report before you decide to adjourn.
Okay. Great.
And further clarifications from Mr. Reeder on making the page six consistent with the numbers, and I'm making those edits without communication. Do you want to just describe what you've pointed out here, those last two lines?
Yeah, actually, both the top and the bottom have slight problems with each. On the top section, it says class size average of 20 in kindergarten, and 23 in grades 1 to 3. What it should say is class size average of 20 in kindergarten and grade 1, and size of class size of 23 in grades 2 and 3.
Okay.
The rest of the top is fine. On the bottom, the fourth item says grades 6 through 12 students in classes with more than 22 students. That has lumped together middle and high schools, and they're not actually the same. So for grades 6, 7, and 8, the QEM calls for an average of 22. And then for grades 9 through 12, an average of 21.
Of 20 what?
Of 20-something.
21.
21.
21 for 9 through 12?
Yes.
Is that right?
As an average.
As an average.
And what is currently the last line on the electronic version that repeats 6 through 12 students are in classes with more than 29 students as a maximum, that remains?
Yeah,
6 through 12?
That 29 maximum applies to both middle schools and high schools.
It. And the number, again, I'm sorry, for grades 9 through 12 is 21. Is that right?
For the average, yes,
okay.
21.
Does that represent accurately? If you take a look on the projector, I'm making the changes as we go. So it's 6 to 8 with 22 students. 6 through 12 is perhaps should be at the bottom.
Yeah. Well, I think it having the maximum in the middle seems funny.
Okay.
Does that look okay?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. All right. Anything else on detail to content and correct data? Is there a possibility that we could talk about? Would you be willing to commit to two more meetings before the end of the year? Would that be asking too much? Folks around the table are saying yes to maybe. Okay.
Two between now and
the end of the year. Would you, folks on the phone, would you be willing to commit to two more meetings between now and the end of the year?
Yeah, this is Colin, absolutely. Jeff says yes.
Gary should be okay with it. Depends on day.
And Sarah, likewise, this is Ann.
Ann saying yes?
Thank you.
Okay. And Paula?
I'm fine, yep.
Okay. Great. So at this point then, I don't think we have to do anything as far as just ask staff to continue to finesse the report. And then can we do one of those scheduling doodle polls and find a day where we can all get together again?
Yep.
Okay.
And before you adjourn, if I could run through to make sure that I understand.
Sure.
There's an insert pending on page 11 regarding proportionally weighing students in large classes, an insert pending regarding clarification of the funding gap, which I believe you've solicited from the Department of Education. If you could give me any edits on that, that would be great. There isn't any instruction about, other than if you want me to wing it, to draft some language for the insert on page 11, proportionally weighing students. Perhaps you'd like to solicit members of the task force for that insert, that language. That was Mr. Humphrey's criticism of the content.
So you guys, she's asking on page 11, I think we were starting in the section that was on equity, where we were trying to talk about acknowledging that there are staffing suggestions or requirements in the QEM on different streams of students, whether it be ELL or special ed or IEPs, and also that we were acknowledging that students who were maybe in poverty, qualifications or people who were ELL or special ed, that there was acknowledgement that there was some type of strategy about maybe smaller classes for students with those conditional educational needs, that we were acknowledging that there may be an attempt to have smaller classes with those streams of students or those populations of students.
Is there someone who would volunteer to improve this section of the report to capture that remark? I do feel a bit...
Yes. I'll work with Gary. Gary, you and I will have a whack at it, okay?
Oh, sure.
All right. Thank you. And my last, what I understand is at the conclusion section, you want to wrap up with a recommendation to continue the task force and refocus its...
Suggestions.
Suggestions for it, the steps, and I have your notes as well.
Yes.
on what those recommendations are, including concentrating the task force efforts, making an acknowledgement of the impact, the breadth of impact of class sizes, and then looking at this additional data or the next steps that you'd like to iterate at the bottom of the report.
Okay.
In the conclusion. Is
okay.
That accurate?
The first part, the second part, I think we need to talk a little bit more about. I don't know exactly which data you were looking at. I think what we were saying was that there's factors of class
composition in the classrooms, blended classrooms,
right.
Hearing from teachers. These are
recommendations
for the task force.
For the next meeting.
So those were the three items that I gleaned.
Okay. And I will look at my notes and make sure that... Okay, how about that? Okay, folks that have joined us on the phone, is there anything else for the good of the order?
Not for me.
No.
Nothing for me.
No, thank you.
Nope, I'm fine.
Okay, well, I want to thank you all for joining us here at the Capitol or online, and I appreciate our new staff, and we will just continue to go forward and schedule our next meeting. Thank you very much, and we're going to adjourn the task. Thank you very much, and